Take your Bibles, open up to the book of Matthew. We're continuing on in our series on habits, develop the 12 habits for holiness. Some of you may know the habits. You may be more familiar with the word disciplines, what it means to become a disciple. And so we're going to be walking through that. 2 weeks ago, I believe it was, we talked about worship on all of our campuses, about developing the habit of worship. You're seeing the fruit of that lived out with these children. Last week, it was about study. It's about being in the Word and spending time. We had students who were children who were in the Word all week, and we're praying that you are continuing in that. Today, we're going to keep walking in our disciplines and habits, and we're going to talk about what does it look like to be a person of prayer. And my hope is, as we walk away today, you've been challenged, you've been motivated, not by some dude speaking today, but by the Spirit of the Lord to be a person of prayer who would enter in and be spending time with Him, in communication with Him. If you take the great internet, the great Google factor, and you plug in the word prayer, some variation, you'll get somewhere around 784 million, literally, 784 million different hits on what prayer is about, why prayer, what all is involved. And you know what? Google is not always the best place to just go looking for things. But when you do that, as that was happening this past week, we were able to find a few good things, and I want to read a couple of those about what prayer is. One of them said this, it's a communication with God in response to His holiness. Yes, I can say yes and amen to that. Another one was, it's a two-way conversation with God in response to His love. Yes and amen. That is a great picture of what prayer is all about. Another one was the idea of bowing low and interacting with the God of the universe. Yes and amen. But I also want you to know there is a lot of junk, all right? Some of the things that you would see as you were reading through that, if you were to look at it, one of them was it gave this idea of rattling off all the things that you want in hopes that maybe somehow there would be someone who was greater than you that might give you what it is that you desire. Do what? There was the thought of an incantation that you might use, repeating words over and over again so that the great spirit of the universe might hear you and move maybe on your behalf. Do what? Are you kidding me? Listen, there are all kinds of messed up definitions of what prayer is all about. Maybe you're sitting in here today and you've got great definitions. Maybe you're sitting in here today and you're going, man, I've got horrible practices. Maybe you're sitting in here today and you're going, I don't pray at all. In fact, I really don't even know what it is. This past week, well, not immediately past, but I guess probably 2 weeks ago now, Peyton Bullen, our sending pastor, and myself had the opportunity to travel to Jordan and then on to Egypt. And we were there looking at potential partnership opportunities for us to be involved as LifePoint in the Middle East. If you don't know, the dominant religion in those countries is Islam. And in Islam, prayer is essential for right standing with God. Prayer is essential. It's not optional. It's essential. They pray 5 times a day before sunrise, at noon, mid-afternoon, they pray again before their evening, before sundown, and then they pray right before they go to bed. And for you to be right in Islam, for you to be a good Muslim, you must pray and bow towards Mecca. In every hotel room that we were in, you would find a little arrow pointing. The first time I ever experienced that, I was going, what is this arrow? I called down to the desk and said, oh, that's the direction to Mecca, so that you are facing towards Mecca. Listen, I want to make sure that it's really clear today, all right? The reason that we pray is so that we can be in direct communication with God the Father who has saved us as His children. We don't do anything to earn our salvation. We depend on the finished work of Jesus Christ on the cross, who died a death that we didn't have to die. He died in our place and paid the penalty of sin. And if we surrender our life to him as Lord and Savior, then we are right before God the Father. There is all kinds of messed up understandings about what prayer is all about. And today, our hope, my hope is that we would begin to go, okay, God, we want to be in communication with you because we love you, because we honor you. Maybe some of you are in here and you've not been praying, you've not been spending time with him. Well, I don't want this message. Maybe you've been involved in church or you've heard messages before, you've heard people talk, and you've walked away going, I stink. I don't pray the right way. I don't pray often enough. And then you're heaped with guilt. You're heaped with, like, now then we start walking out in this legalistic kind of standpoint, trying to make up out of, listen, that's not what prayer is about. That's not why we're doing this today. Prayer is about coming into communication with the living God, the one who has saved us, who has changed us, so that we might be in communion with him. You see, communion is not just something we take up and do. We're gonna experience communion, the Lord's Supper, in a little bit. Communion is what we have with the Father when we're in relationship with him. And so I don't want you to walk away beat down. I want you motivated, inspired to go, I want to spend time with him. I want to speak to him. I want to know the God of the universe, the one who has saved me. I want to know him. I want to spend time. So with that, we're going to look in Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6 is a passage that is really familiar probably to you. Maybe, in fact, if you've never been involved in church, you probably have know a portion of this passage talking about prayer. It's called the model prayer. And the reason we're going to look at it today is because Jesus gives a model to people about when you pray like this. He starts out, though, by telling them how not to pray. There's a bad definition, and then he's going to give them a good definition. So let's read Matthew chapter 6, and we're going to begin reading in verse 5, and we're going to read down through verse 13. And when you pray, notice that Jesus didn't say if you pray. He says when you pray. So there's an expectation that we're going to be praying. So when you pray, you must not be like the hypocrites, the Pharisees, those who act religious. For they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and at the street corners, that they may be seen by others. Truly, I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you pray, go into your room and shut the door and pray to your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you. And when you pray, do not heap up empty phrases as the Gentiles do. Incantations, just you're repeating words over and over and over. Empty void words. For they think that they will be heard for their many words. Verse 8, do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. Verse 9, pray then like this. Notice, I want you to circle the word like, underline it. All right. In fact, let me just stop you here, right here. I'm a big note taker. So if you've got a pen, a paper, you got your tablet or something, I want you to thumb. You can thumb your notes, whatever you need to do. All right. But I want you to underline that. Notice that he says, pray then like this. He doesn't say pray this. Pray then like this. He's giving a model here. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread and forgive us of our debts, our sins, as we have forgiven also our debtors, those who sinned against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. All right, so first question, what exactly is prayer? If you're writing some notes down, I want you to write this. I'm gonna give you a really simple definition. Prayer is communication with God. Prayer is direct communication with God. In fact, prayer is direct communication with God and all of God. Let me help you to break that out. Let's talk about that for just a minute. When we pray, we are directly communicating with God the Father, God the Holy Spirit is involved. God the Son is involved. God's Word should be involved along with us. So when we are praying, we're in direct communication with God. We're speaking to Him, and we are in access. We are involved with all of who God is. So let's kind of break that apart. God the Father, when we're praying, verse 9, Jesus says that our prayers are directed to God. Notice that He says this. He says, hallowed be your name. He says, holy be your name. You see, He's speaking directly to God. He says, our Father who art in heaven. Now, that doesn't mean that every time you pray, you have to start with our Father. But your prayers are always directed to the Father. Your prayers are always directed to God. See, we have the God of the universe that we are coming into contact with. He is listening. He is desiring to be with us. So at that point, everything about us should be directed towards Him. That's why when we pray, we want to shut out the distractions. When we're spending time. Now listen, I realize that you're on 24, you're on 65, you're headed into Nashville, and there are times when you were praying. Do not shut out all the distractions because you're going to mess up traffic. It's going to be crazy. But hopefully in the morning and the evening time, at some point, you're shutting out the distractions so that your attention, your focus, your eyes, your heart, everything about you is in focus with who God is. You're trying to hear from Him. You're speaking to Him. So you're praying direct communication. Please catch that. You're not talking to your wife, your son, your kid. You're talking to God, the God of the universe. You're in direct communication with Him. The scripture also tells us, go over to the book of Romans. Go over to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8, verse 26 and 27 tell us that the Spirit is also involved in our praying. This is an encouragement to me, all right? These verses are an encouragement to me. Here's what Paul says. Paul says that in verse 26, likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. You ever feel weak in your prayers? Well, the Spirit helps us. For we do not know what to pray for as we ought. But the Spirit Himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. And He who searches hearts knows what is in the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. And here's what that's saying to us right here. Paul's writing and he says, listen, there are points in time when we don't even know what to pray. Yesterday, I got a text. I got a text from a guy who is in our church. And he says, hey, man, I need to talk to you. Are you up for a funeral? Well, no, I'm never up for a funeral. That's not something I'm excited about. I called him back and he said, man, I need your help. My brother-in-law, 29 years old, two kids, found dead this morning, OD'd. His wife's in rehab right now. He just got out. That was the sound right there over the phone. Lord, what do I pray? And I'm thankful that the Spirit, when I didn't know what to pray, was interceding on behalf. Those days when I don't pray aright, as the scripture says here, according to the will of God, you know what the Spirit does? The Spirit intercedes on my behalf and corrects and fixes those prayers so that they align with what the will of God is. That's encouraging. So here I am sitting, talking to the God of the universe, and the Holy Spirit begins to align my prayers with what the will of God is. Have you ever been in those moments when you felt weak in your prayer life, when you really didn't know what to pray? Maybe you're in one of those moments when every bit of your prayer is just selfish. It's just me, 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 me. And the Holy Spirit, the scripture says, He intercedes on our behalf and He begins to correct and He begins to fix our prayers. The scripture tells us that Jesus Himself is involved in our praying. Hebrews, over in the book of Hebrews in the New Testament, is Jesus is our mediator. There is one mediator between God and man, and His name is Jesus. The scripture tells us that he is at the right hand of the Father today. Today, Jesus is at the right hand of the Father, and he is our mediator. The scripture calls him our advocate. You know what an advocate is, don't you? Like a lawyer, someone who pleads your case. And the scripture says that Jesus is there today. I'm in direct communication with God. The Spirit is fixing and interceding my prayers. Jesus is standing. He's seated at the right hand saying, that guy right there, Kyle, he's with us. I've paid his penalty. The scripture, Jesus says, if you ask anything in my name. Now, I want to make sure you hear me. This isn't name it and claim it. In the name of Jesus, this is not you get what you want. In the name of Jesus is all about identification. When I tell my son, I've got a daughter and two sons, and I remember when they were in high school. They don't do this anymore. They're their own. But I was telling them in high school, if they're going somewhere, hey, tell them that you're my child. My dad, his name, my dad's Kyle. Not because that's going to get them anything free. It's going to get relationship. Okay, I know that person. And you realize all of the world is about who you know. That's how you get into heaven. It's about who you know. And so here as I pray, God, I'm entering in. I'm with you. Hallowed be your name. Your name is holy. Your name is great. And the Spirit is saying, interceding on my behalf. And Jesus is saying, Father, he's with me. Father, she's with us. And he is there on our behalf. He's there on our behalf. Notice with me as we read, look back in that passage in Matthew. Jesus did something unique also. And again, it's a model. He prayed the word, okay? He prayed the word. Notice with me, verse 9, it says, hallowed be your name. That means your name is holy. Do you know what the word holy means? Holy means set apart, completely different, okay? Kyle, listen, Kyle's that's a common name. Jesus is a name that is holy, separate, and apart. It's at the name of Jesus that every knee will bow. You understand that? That's in the Bible, Philippians. Every knee will bow. Every tongue will confess. I tell Michael, I've told Travis this, there is something about when we sing about the name of Jesus, not just call on his name, but when we stand and we sing about the name of Jesus, I want to tell you something. That is a powerful name. It's a powerful name. It is holy and set apart. And here, all throughout scripture, we know that God is holy. He commands that we be holy. And so Jesus, when he's praying, he says, listen, pray like this. Our Father who's in heaven, hallowed be your name. Look at verse 10. Verse 10, he goes on and he says this, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Now, some of you are going to laugh about this. I'm not a grammarian. Many of you may know that. But what I do know is that wherever there are two commas, you could pull that clause out and the sentence should continue to make sense because that clause right there is directed back. So look at this. It says, your kingdom come, comma, your will be done. Well, so what is it talking about there? What is God's kingdom? God's kingdom is when his will is done. We know that there's a day coming when God's will is going to be perfect on this earth. It's already perfect in heaven, the scripture says, but there's going to be a day. And so when we're praying, your will be done on earth. Lord, make me obedient to your will, because when I am obedient to your will, your kingdom is here on this earth. He's praying. This is something that comes straight from scripture. Verse 11, he prays that God would provide for us. Verse 12, he says, God, forgive us. Verse 12, he goes on, enable us to forgive others. Help us to fight temptation. Verse 13, Jesus right here, you know where all that comes from? It all comes from the Old Testament. Jesus was praying the word. He was giving a picture of how we should be praying. Have you ever felt like your prayers just weren't being answered? You ever felt like that? I mean, I have. In those times, I've had to stop back and go, God, what am I praying? Am I praying me, 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 me? If you look at that passage right there, 9 through 13, all of the pronouns are plural. Us, we, our. And it's all about scripture. And I've had to step back and go, God, am I being selfish in my prayers? God, am I only praying about my needs? Father, am I bringing your word to bear? Dads in this room. Listen, those of you who have children who are raising kids, let me tell you, how incredible is it when your kid, when your child comes to you and they repeat back something that you have said to them and you know it. They may not realize it, but they're repeating back the advice that you've given them. You're sitting back at that point going, yes, they got it. There's something about hearing your words back out of their lips. I want you to hear me. God is not sitting up in heaven going, yes, they're saying my words. But no, there is something that is truly unique and special. When we call back the living word, his word, that is sharper than any two-edged sword, and we pray his word back to him, he's going to answer his word because he is faithful and true. His word is what's going to last. And so as we pray back his word, so you've got, you're praying to God, direct communication. The Holy Spirit is interceding on our behalf. Jesus is at the right hand of the Father saying, he's with me. Listen to his prayers. Let's move on his behalf. We're praying the word of God. Listen, that's what the Holy Spirit calls us to bear witness to that. So with that, as we think that, okay, that's kind of what prayer is. What do we pray for? What is it that we should be praying for? Well, the Bible is full. I mean, there's a blue million things you could be praying for. We could sit and talk for days. We pray for our wives. We pray for our husbands. We're supposed to be praying for our children. We pray for forgiveness. We pray for missions. There are all kinds of things that we can and probably should pray for, but I want to break it into four little categories, okay? And we're going to move quickly. Rob's giving me the sign. I got to move quickly. So what I want you to do is this. I want you to take down just a couple of things. The very first thing, category that I want to encourage us to start with is confession. When you come before the Father, one of the things that we should be about is confession. Basically, what confession is admitting to God and telling God and agreeing with God what he already knows, okay? It's confessing where you have fallen short, where you've not lived up to his word, his standard. Now, let me make sure that you're clear on this, all right? I don't want us to get confused. Our sin was paid for on the cross when we died, when Jesus died. When we surrender our life to Jesus Christ, our sin was paid for. He holds it against us no more. Psalm 103, he removes it as far as the east is from the west. We're not held accountable to that any longer. But you know, there are things in our lives that come between us that block the flow of communication. You know that even in your own personal lives with people that you love. And confession is when we come before him and we say, God, we confess. We know that what we've done, Father, what I've done, it did not live up to who you've called me to be. And I agree with you. I used to tell my kids when they were little, hey, if I'm asking you a question, I probably already know the answer. So let's just go ahead and be truthful about it. Okay? You're not hiding anything from God the Father. Do you realize that? He already knows. And what he wants and what he desires is for us to come to him so that he can take it and just wash us clean of that. There's nothing standing between us in communication. For some of you in here today, your very first step of prayer, because you do not know him as Lord and Savior, is to confess him as Savior. God, I've tried everything. Jesus, I've tried everything in your place. But today, I confess you to be my Lord and Savior. I ask you to remove the sin of my life away from me. I turn away from it and I'm turning to you. That would be your act of confession today. The second aspect, confession. The second one is intercession. Intercession is a word that means going before the Father on behalf of someone else. Just like the Holy Spirit intercedes on my behalf, we should be about interceding on behalf of others who have needs, praying on their behalf. Now listen, I oftentimes start with me. Me, me, me. I would encourage you to consider praying on behalf of others. Some of you in here, you've been prayed for already today because we've asked the Lord, if there are those in here who do not know him today, would you cause them to surrender their life to you? Would you awaken them to salvation today? So we've been interceding on your behalf. Some of you in here today, we've prayed for because you have needs that need to be met. You need the Father to move. And you know what? There is nothing greater. There's nothing greater than knowing that you've got a brother or a sister who is in the battle with you. And so when you go and you intercede, I want you to hear me. David and Kurt need your intercession today because they are doing work. They're doing spiritual work and they need you interceding on their behalf. Going before the Father and asking him to do what only he can do for them. Confession, intercession. The third one is petition. Do you know what it means to petition? You know, remember a minute ago, we talked about Jesus being your mediator, your advocate, your lawyer, the one who pleads your case. Well, a lawyer takes a petition and he petitions the court. Would you do this on behalf of? Well, petition is when we bring our needs before the court of God. When we go before him gloriously and say, God, I need you. I need you to move. I don't know where my next check is coming from. I don't know where my next food is coming from. God, I don't know how I'm gonna pay this bill. God, my marriage, I don't know what to do. God, I need you. I've got grades that are like in the tank and I need help. I need you. Do you know God's a good God? And when you come before him, he wants to hear your heart. He wants to know what's going on. He wants to move on your behalf. He desires to hear. Did you realize that our Father owns the cattle on 1,000 hills? The scripture says. He's the one who brings economies up and tears them down. He's the one that puts the king in place, and he's the one that brings the king down. He can do whatever it is that he wills to do. One of the greatest examples of petition, I think, is in the New Testament with Jesus. Do you remember Jesus on the night that he was betrayed? He was about to be crucified the next morning, and Jesus goes to the Garden of Gethsemane, the scripture tells us, and he fell on his face, and he began to petition the Father, his Father, God, is there any way, this cup, what I'm about to do, can it be done another way? Would you please, can it be removed? But then the next words out of his mouth were this, but not my will, may your will be done. Folks, listen, when we come before the Father, who is a good and gracious Father, who desires to move on our behalf, I want you to know that he wants to move on our behalf, but he may not always answer the way we desire for it to be answered. It may not be in the direction we think we should go. It may not be at the time at which we want it to happen. God is first and foremost concerned with his glory, that he receive the maximum amount of glory because he is the God, the King of glory. But he's also concerned for our good, and our good isn't always the way that we think it should be. But I'm here to testify to you. I want you to know, I've walked with Jesus and he has never, ever failed me. And I want you to hear this. He will never, ever fail you. Never. He may not line up in your petition the way you desire, but he will always do what's best for you and for your glory's sake. And in the midst of it, we just pray, God, this is what our heart's desire is, but we want your will first. We want what you desire. So you've got confession, intercession, you've got petitioning. The last thing that I want to talk about is thanksgiving. Are we people who have a thankful heart other than November? I mean, where we fall before God, who gives good gifts, who gives grace to all. He doesn't give saving grace to all, but we all fall under common grace. And that means, what that means is that he gives us good gifts that we don't even recognize oftentimes. Are we people who are thankful that we call back out to him? How many times, when is the last time you've just sat and got out a piece of paper and wrote down everything that you're thankful for? Literally. I mean, no matter the size, even the smallest of things. I told you about being in Egypt this past week. And I don't normally get sick, but I got so sick when I was in Egypt. Near the last day, I've come to realize I was dehydrated. I've never been in a place that had like a lot of dry heat. Literally, I mean, it was like 110, 112. We're out going, seeing churches, talking to pastors. I mean, all kinds of things. I'm drinking water, but obviously I'm not drinking near enough. You know, I feel like I'm sweating, but I guess this dry heat is just gone. Thursday night, I mean, like Friday morning, Thursday night, I wake up and I am like, I feel like, I don't know what, dying. I mean, thirsty. I can't get enough water. My head feels like it's exploding. I mean, the whole next day I'm in the bed. And while I'm laying there in bed, I'm just, oh my gosh. Lord, I'm so thankful. Lord, I'm thankful for fruit. I'm thankful for water. I'm thankful for my bed that I don't have here. It's back there. I'm thankful for it. I'm thankful for my family. You're just crying out. You are thankful. I was reading a book about a lady named Corrie Ten Boom. Some of you may know, have heard of her before. Corrie Ten Boom was in the 40s. She and her dad, her family, they were clockmakers in Amsterdam during the Nazi regime. And they were believers. They were Dutch believers. But they were part of the resistance, and they would hide Jewish people so that they couldn't be shipped off to concentration camps. They did this for several years until finally they were caught. And then they, as a family, were shipped off to a concentration camp. Corrie happened to be in a concentration camp with her sister named Betsy. Betsy was the oldest of the Ten Boom children. And she had a much better spirit, Corrie says, than she did. Corrie says that while she was there, she was always complaining and looking down. And she said Betsy just had a spirit about her that she was always happy. And then one day she just said, "Betsy, why are you like this?" And Betsy responds to her, "The scripture says that we are to rejoice always and in all things give thanks." And she says, I'm just so happy. She says, "But Corrie, have you thought about the room where we all get to congregate? Have you noticed that none of the SS, they'll even come in there?" Corrie looked at her and said, "Yeah, I guess I have seen that." And Betsy said, "You realize what it is, don't you? It's the fleas. It's the fleas that we've been infested with." And she began to just thank the Lord for the fleas that she had. She said, "God, thank you for the fleas. God, thank you that I'm so crammed in these bunks. My friends are here. God, thank you. God, thank." And she just continued to thank the Lord for even the things that seem like trouble. Folks, listen, when we come to the Father and we just begin to thank him, you know what begins to happen? Our prayer of thanks changes our perspective. Do you know what happens when we begin to pray the prayer of petition? God begins to change our circumstances. That prayer changes circumstances. You know what happens when you begin to pray that prayer of intercession for people? God begins to change them. Do you know what happens when you begin to pray that prayer of confession? God changes us. He changes us. Folks, hear this. Prayer is about changing us. It's not about changing God. God doesn't move on us. God moves us to where he is. He changes us. Just like us praying the scripture is about declaring the truth of who God is back to him. And as we do that, he changes us. But more than that, you know what prayer is all about? Prayer is about a child being with their father. Prayer is about being in communication with the one who loves you, the one who desires you, the one who wants you, the one who gave his son for us. I've told you I had three children, and my two oldest are married today, and then my youngest is about to be married in August. And one of the things that we love to do as a family is we eat together. So like Sundays afternoons and Wednesday nights after church, we eat together. Some of you have been at that table. Those are happy, happy times. You know, I remember when my kids were small and it was so loud at the table. People talking over each other and I'm sitting, shh, shh, everybody get quiet. It's too loud, get quiet. Today, it is so loud at my table. And you know what I love doing? Just sitting back and listening to the voice of my children. To hear them. Who's trying to talk over who? What problem is happening over here? What's happening here? To hear their voice, to know their lives. And you know what? I don't want a gap. Between Sunday and Wednesday is a long gap for me. I like short gaps where I can hear. Be in relationship. Did you realize your heavenly Father has set the table before you and he wants to hear your voice? He's not sitting up there wanting to wrap your fingers in discipline. You know what he's wanting to do? He's wanting to hear your voice. He's wanting to speak words of hope into your life. He's wanting to speak words of grace into your life. He's wanting to be the God of mercy that when you feel like you've just, I don't know, he begins to lavish his love on you. So the point is that we keep short gaps, that we are in direct communication with our holy heavenly Father and the Spirit intercedes. And Jesus is saying he's with us. God, we move. Let's answer his prayers. As we open the word and declare the glorious promises of God back to him. Today, that's the desire, that we move into communication with him. May we be a people of prayer. May we be a people who will set aside a time so that we can be in his presence. Father, we honor you today, and we thank you for the privilege of being called your children. And Father, I pray right now that if there are those in here, someone in here who does not know you as Lord and Savior, that they will confess their need of you today. God, we honor you. We magnify you. I pray, Father, that you would help us, that you would call us, that you would shake us from the inside so that we would want to spend more time with our Heavenly Father. And God, for those in here who may have had a rough time with their earthly father, may they know that their Heavenly Father stands today and wants to hear from them. He loves them. Lord Jesus, we honor you. And it's in the name of Jesus we ask these things. Amen. Today, our response time is this, and we're going to take a few moments. We're going to have communion in just a few minutes where we pass and do the Lord's Supper, and the elements will come in just a few moments. During that time, that's a time for believers. Those who've never surrendered their life to Jesus, we would ask that you just pass that by. But I also want you to know that this is a time where if you've never surrendered your life to Christ, you can do that. You can confess your need of him. Surrender your life to him. Maybe today in this room, there are some things that you need to confess back to him and say, God, there's been a block in communication. We're going to have a time of just kind of directed prayer time where we're going to practice. We're going to respond with these things. And then I'll lead us to the next point. So if you don't mind, let's take now. Maybe this is the point where we get to enter into a time of confession before the Father. So let's go before him now. First Corinthians 11 says, whoever therefore eats the bread and drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of profaning the body and the blood of the Lord. Let a person examine himself then before he eats and drinks. Father, I pray if there's anything between us, Lord, you would reveal that to these people today. Let's move to a time of intercession. Maybe there are people that you know that you need to intercede on behalf. You need to pray on their behalf before the Father. Maybe it's they don't know Jesus. Maybe they need to surrender their life. Maybe it's an illness, a sickness. This is our opportunity. Let's pray and intercede on behalf of those around us and those you know. Let's move to a time of petition now. Maybe there's a need in your family, in your life that only the Father knows, and you go before him now and ask him to meet that need. And then lastly, let's have a time of thanksgiving. Let's thank the Lord for the things that he has done, the great things that he has done, the giver of good gifts.